Harper Stanton get to me one time back years ago, and church circumstances and all that stuff, and I wouldn't come at the church no more. So I understand. I truly understand, buddy. When things come and you let it steal your faith, and you let it steal your joy, and you let it steal the word. How do you know Satan comes to steal the word? Mark 4 over there. Sober sows the word, the Bible says. Satan comes immediately and steals the word. Talks about the cares of this world, chokes out the word, that it becomes unfruitful. How many knows the word? We can if we keep the word, it'll bear fruit. It'll start bearing fruit in our life, hallelujah. It'll bring the promises of God, help to bring the promises of God to pass, hallelujah. But you know, I wasn't coming to church anymore. Y'all heard the story, most of you, but it just bears telling again tonight. That's the spirit that I'm feeling. And so I wasn't coming to church. Priest come down, put a note on the door. And I had this thought, well, you can't just lay out of church. And I thought, well, everybody does, and they won't take black God ain't no different from me. I was in the flesh, you know. I was in the flesh wrong. And I was thinking, well, everybody just lays out when they want to. Don't tell me nothing and all that. Well, I just ain't going either, but God. They'll just show up. The pastor won't be there. Well, hey, get used to it. That's the way it is with us. Now, I wasn't saying I was right. See, I was in the wrong spirit. But I didn't go to church. You know, wasn't going to church. So the preacher comes down, puts a note on the door, no church today. I told her, don't even do it. You know, and so anyhow, I'm there, and she comes in back home, and come on, let's go to church, let's go to Faith Restoration. And I said, I don't want to go to church. If I'm going to church, I can go down to my church. I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to church. God will leave me alone, you know. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, I started thinking, man, what if she backslides? You know, what if it's not good with, you know, with her? If me not being faithful causes her to backslide, then it would be my fault. None of what Scripture said, woe unto those who are the stumbling block to him. He'd be better off than a millstone tied around his neck and cast in the sea and the rain. And I cared about it. But anyways, I told her, I said, okay, I'm going to go, you know. And all the way up there, in a wrong spirit, all the way up there, I'm thinking, nobody better not ask me what I'm doing up here. I just tell them, make none of your business. What are y'all doing? I'm going to church. Even go to church, even if you're in a wrong spirit. Go anyway. Go if you're mad. Go if you're oppressed. Go if you have backslid. You're confused. You don't know what to do. You wore out. Go anyhow.
Amen.
I get in that service in there, went through the praise and worship, never got the spirit. I'm sitting there, great. He goes sing a song 45 minutes. You know, when you're in a wrong spirit, ain't nothing good to you. Church service, they talk too long, preach too long, sang too long. We went through all of that, and Brad gets up, and he gives the title out. Lost your motivation. I thought, great. Lost your motivation. Great. What a sermon. No, lost your motivation. But I got my mind. He started preaching. The anointing begins to move in on the service. And then all of a sudden, he mentions it three or four times and brings up some things. And all of a sudden, it hit me. I've just lost my motivation. That's all that's wrong with me.
Yep.
Glory to God, I've been sitting there. I thought, is that it? That's all that's wrong with me. It's not all these problems. It's not all these issues that I've been focused on. I realized in that service that I'd focused on all the wrong things, and it caused me to conform to things. Instead of being transformed. Instead of letting the word transform me. You know what? I've never been the same again. I left out of there and I thought, but God, that'll never happen to me again in the name of Jesus. Man, I'll come rounding people up from church and still doing it today.
Hallelujah.
That's been 10 years ago, I guess, or longer. I don't know. But you know, you got to watch about losing your motivation. You got to watch about conforming to your circumstances. How many knows we've got a lot of things going on in this earth right now, praise God, that's trying to get us to conform. Conform to unbelief. Conform to doubt. Conform to sickness and disease. I'm not going to bow to flu. I'm not going to bow. And this church ain't going to bow. None of us. And if it attacks us, thank God, we just stand up and we fight. And we fight the good fight of faith and lay hold, praise God. No matter how, you ain't got to feel like you in faith to be in faith. You just stand on the word of God and believe God for his promise, and you are in faith. Now, when you sit down and you just know, oh, it's just the way it is. It's just, I just feel so bad. I'm just, you know, now you're conforming. Now you're not using what you've been transformed to do. If you've been in the Lord very long at all, your mind has been transformed. It's been changed. It's been renewed somewhat to the word of God. Well, it's not just knowing. It's doing whatever we know to do in the middle of the battle or whatever's coming against us. You know, I thought, you know what, praise God, I thought I'll start having communion every service. If it's sickness and disease and this, he wants to come and try to jack us up, we're going to go forward. We're going to do some things. He better just leave us alone while we're just taking ground. Because we're fixing to mess his stuff up. We'll get some wheelchairs hanging on the wall. We'll believe God. We'll fast and pray and believe God for an outpouring of miracles and people will come from everywhere. So we best just leave us alone while we just try to stand on track with the Lord. But we can't conform. The Bible says, give me that Romans 12, please. Be not conformed to this age. Be not conformed to this age. Be not conformed to sickness. Be not conformed to the media. I don't listen to the news much. I'm not going to listen to too much news because there's too much stuff going on in the media. The media wants to lie. You can't then find out. Now, I mean, we got to come out this, whatever this other name of this idiot is, after the COVID. Yeah, sounds wicked. Was it Omicron?
Omicron.
What kind of alien name's that?
Rearrange the letters, it spells moronic.
Moronic. It's a moron. We just named it moron. And everything that has a name and name moron, it has to bow. It's in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. Glory to God. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning.
Yes.
See, when you hang on and you don't conform and you're transformed, he says don't conform to the same, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. The word prove, Doris is here.
Yeah.
Didn't get put in hospital. She had about five things.
Praise God.
I mean, she had sinus infection, pneumonia,
bronchitis.
COVID, bronchitis. Then she had people tell her she's going to die.
Yeah.
Then she felt like it Sunday night's what I heard. Then she felt like it Sunday night's what I heard. But you know what? Where's she at tonight? Look, God's over here getting filled up, getting over here, getting under the anointing, getting under the dank conforming to go use what you've been transformed. Sandy ought not to be here. She has something that long for a reason not to be here. Hallelujah. She come limping just a little bit, but I looked at her and I've seen her limp a lot worse.
Yeah.
She's not conforming. Not going to conform. Don't mean you ain't going to go through. The Bible says, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. He said he set the table in the presence of my enemy. Glory to God. My cup runs over. Your cup runs over. He set the table in the presence of Satan. Hallelujah. But I just felt like today the enemy is trying to get some of us to conform to the way it feels like or what it looks like. Hallelujah. So I went somewhere today. I ain't going to talk too much. People listen to me. I ain't going to talk too much about where I go, what I do, where I'm at. Just say what I'm saying. But I went somewhere and somebody tell me, said, You better watch and not get sick. I said, I don't get sick. They look at you a little funny when you do that. Well, I mean what I'm saying. I ain't got time. And I looked at them and I said, I don't got time for that garbage. I got work to do for the Lord. I got work to do. I've got things to do. I've got church to pastor. I'm not getting sick. It's like, well, you better not say that, because if you do, you're going to look real bad. I ain't going to look real bad. I'm not going to eat that garbage. Right. I'm not going to conform to what people think. Yeah. People will tell you you're going to be broke. You're going to be sick. You're going to be weak. It ain't going to ever get better. It's always, Aubrey was allergic to bee stings. Lost. And I prayed over her, we did, and all the hard guests, I don't know whoever did. And I said, glory to God, she's going to grow out of that in the name of Jesus. She's not going to be allergic. I bound it and I rebuked it in the name. And I laid hands on her at night, praise God, when she came to the house. And I commanded her body to grow and be to where she, and today she's not. Amen. Somebody say, well, she just grew. Of course she did, I told her to. See, the Bible says we're to speak to these mountains.
Yeah.
We're not to conform to them. Well, they're deadly. COVID and all that's deadly. Well, you know what? The anointing is deadly.
Yeah.
It kills stuff.
Yeah.
It's deadly. The word is deadly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dead serious. But you know what? If you don't pull that sword out and use it, but God, it ain't got a lick of power in it. It ain't got a lick of faith in it unless you release it out of your mouth. You standing on it, praise God. And you say, by Jesus, stripes, I'm healed. You know what I thought about it? I thought, Lord, I've got the cure for COVID for me. And anybody that wants it's in the Holy Bible, praise God. Psalms 91 says that no plague will come nigh my dwelling. But you know, it just says it.
Amen.
Well, Doris. You can say, well, it didn't work for her. No weapon formed against her prosper. See, be balanced in the word. Don't get off and be conformed to what you see in your evidence around you. Don't conform to that. It didn't prosper against her. It didn't get her in the hospital. Can't kill her. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We're not to conform to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I made up my mind that I'm going to prosper. And I don't care what government's in, what comes on this planet. God's word says that he will bless us going in, bless us going out, bless us in the city. I expect the blessing of the Lord on my business. I expect the blessing of the Lord working in my life. I'm not going to conform to the way things look in the natural or people. And I have prospered for nearly 2 years.
Amen.
This even hit Teresa. Woo, hallelujah. I mean, she's all the time, money under, sending money, giving money there, giving money there, giving money there. I'm like, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Two's better than one. In a threefold cord, and God's all in it. Can't be broke.
Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah. And I thought, Lord, there's no way that we follow you and we do what you say and we stand on your word that your promises will not be fulfilled in our lives. You watch over your word to perform it, to make sure that the word that we have in our heart to release out of our mouth comes to pass. Hallelujah. Now, if you've never experienced it, just follow after those who through faith and patience have.
Right.
And you know, I was me and Travis talking today or something about something. And I told him, I said, I made this statement. I said, you know, a lot of people want what I got, but they're not willing to do what I've done to get where I'm at.
Right.
See, if you're willing to do what it takes to have success, you will experience success.
Right.
Or you can sit on the sidelines and say, Lord, why me? Why me? Why me? We all could say that. I can say, Lord, why am I going through this trial? Lord, why am I going through this trial at church? Why, Lord? I'm just trying. That is not going to get any victory for me. When I got in my heart and say out of my mouth, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. I stand on the word. Let the Lord do the battle. Victory is mine. That's not just a good old spiritual song to me. Let God, that is meat for my spirit. That is good news to my ears. And it feels good inwardly. It bears witness with God and the Spirit of God when I go around saying that when all hell is breaking loose. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you know the renewing your mind will change your life? After you're born again, I'm not talking to heathen. I'm talking about born again people. When we renew our mind with the Word of God, rehearse the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, and even if we know it in our mind, refresh it in our mind constantly, all the time, I'm telling you, it will continually transform and keep you in the transformed state that you're in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't believe in losing ground. People have told me, I mean, preachers told me one time, they're talking about this and the devil this, and they're talking about, they're worried about grandma and papa, whatever they're saying, and then whatever they tell me, I said, I don't worry. That's sin. Let them back. One of them looked at me and said, now, Brother Weston, you got to worry about something. I said, no, the Bible says don't worry. I said, that's a command. That's not if I choose. I said, you know, I said, what is the use of worrying? How many car payments has it paid for you? How much money does it generate every Friday? Think about it. What's use? What use, what benefit does it bring? It don't. It kills, steals, and destroys. Well, this worry, we got no evidence of money. I thought you said you're a servant of Jesus. He said he'd supply all of your needs. Well, then get that and put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your wallet. There's all my needs, man. I put it in there.
Yes.
Put it in your wallet. Put the scripture in your wallet.
Yes.
Every time you open it up, no, you're not empty. I'm supplied fully.
Yes.
Talk to your wallet. You got money coming to you now.
Yes.
In the name of, I'm going around saying I am a money magnet. When you walk through those doors back there, and you walk on that carpet right there, you walk on every scripture that everybody was going to this church at that time before we moved into this part. You walk across the Word of God to get here. You go in those Sunday school rooms, you are walking on the Word of God. We have built and based this ministry on the Word of God. And as long as we are focused on the Word of God, the promises of God, I shall not be. I'm like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Psalms 112 says He'll bless you more and more. Hallelujah. He said, you will prove. That word prove means it will manifest in your life what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yeah.
That's powerful. I mean, that is powerful. If you don't conform and I don't conform and be transformed, we're in a process of being transformed into the image of Jesus. It's not over just because we get, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart and learn that scripture.
Right.
It's not over. That's the starting of the transformation of confidence in the Lord. Yeah. Satan's trying to steal some of your confidence in the Lord. One thing will hit, that's fine. Glory to God, been there. Another one hits. Oh, well, you know, God's good. Another one hits. Oh, if it ain't one thing, it's another. One, I mean, you done good till the third one hit. You done good till the third one hit. You were still in confidence. You wasn't conforming. Then that third one hit, and you felt like that was the last drop that you could take. Hallelujah. Then you started conforming to the way it felt. Then you started saying the way it is. And you better cut that off. That's a fountain out of the wrong river. Don't let no bitter water start. Fresh and bitter water don't mix. The Bible says that our words are health and healing to all that hear. If my words are not health and healing and inspiration, I can even say Satan's attacking, but come right back and say, but God, he should have left me alone. He's going to attack. Things are going to come against us. But we respond the right way, we get God results. We get God results. You got to train your thoughts. Quitting is not an option. Not coming to church is not an option for me. It's not an option for me. I don't care if I don't feel good or don't. Halfway broke leg or ain't. There's one in the house that can take care of all my problems, but God. And I'm telling you, when you go up, that woman with the issue of blood got up from where she was secluded at and said, if I can get out there and touch that man, I know that I'll be made whole, but God. And she pushed out of her circumstance, out of her deathbed. She was hemorrhaging, bleeding to death for 12 years, went to all the physicians to no prevail, and went after the one that was able to do abundantly above, and when she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. Now what that tells me today, bless God, if I've got a need, bring a seed to the Lord. Step out in faith with that seed. Come out of that place of separation. Come out into the anointing and let the anointed one move for me.
Yeah.
Quitting is not an option. I've been in business for 28 years, and I have some integrity. And I'm telling you, they ain't nothing going to get in my way of being successful. Nothing.
Amen.
I was talking to Travis the other day. It said something about Walmart or something. I said, yeah. I said, I'll help you go up there and put your application in. I said, I'll drive you up there, son. See, what I'm saying, that's not because I'm a hard case. It's because I've been on this will of God for 28 years in this business, but God. And I know what it takes. I know what it takes to have the anointing flowing. Whether you work for somebody or not, you want promotion on your job, then be faithful. Teresa told me one time, she said, keep praying. You pay him too much. I said, he'll come to work sick. I said, he comes to work. I said, he's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
I said, he's faithful. I said, he's worth a lot of money. See, wherever you work at, you be faithful, and they will see you as worth something. And they will lift you up. They will raise you up. I'm going to tell you a story. Okay, I go to work, and I quit my job every other month or so. I'd go back down there, same place, go to work, and I took the notion to go back to work. I'd just call him up. I need to come back to work. I told him that I got saved. I called him up, and I said, hey, can I meet with you in a few minutes? I'd run with my business. You know, I've been in business a year, maybe. And I said, Jack, I was wondering if I could come to your office and talk to you. I said, sure. I'll be freed up tomorrow, whatever. And so I went up there, and I went up to his office, and big glass office, and looking out over all the employees, you know, and I sat down over there, and he had a computer. No, he had to show me one of his molds he was making, you know, and all that stuff. I let him show me a little bit, you know. And I looked at him, and I said, Jack, I said, why did you put up with me?
I got people who won't go to work now, you know, wonder how you doing stuff, man.
I said, why did you put up with me? He said, well, I never had no boys. I only had a dollar, a couple of dollars. He said, and I love you. He said, I care about it. That's the only reason he put up with me. Love will cause you to put up with stuff. And you know, I thought to myself, when I left, I said, I appreciate you, you know, talking with me and everything. And I left there and I thought, you know what, love had mercy on me. Love had mercy on me, you know. And then I thought, but Lord, I've got to be now what I wasn't then. If I've been changed and transformed, then I got to be best that I can be. And you know, I went to that place. I went to the same job. That was after I quit and went into drugs on me. But I made up my mind that I wasn't going to quit no more. You know, and then I'm reading the Bible in my break time at work. You know, I wouldn't say it with everybody. I'd have in New Testament, little pocket New Testament, and so I'm reading the scriptures over there. I'm sitting there taking a break, you know, the Bible, it says, do your work as unto the Lord, not as men believe. Serving the Lord with your heart, you know. Now I read that and I thought, man, I can't break no more doors. You know, I can't slam these doors down at work. Because now I'm working for Jesus. I need to be on time for Jesus at work. I don't have to be on time. I don't have to. I'm on time. Like I'm there early, 15, 20 minutes early for work most of the time. I'm running a little late now because I'm reading my chapter every morning. That chapter nearly running me late. Got to get up a little earlier, Johnny. Can't blame it on my chapter. But I'm getting that chapter every morning. I done made up my mind. This is a new road for me. I'm getting my chapter every morning like the rest of my church, y'all faithful bunch, y'all. Y'all put me to shame. So I got to beef it up. But be thankful wherever you're. But anyhow, I'm in there and I started working as in the Lord. So I'm going loading up, Johnny, and I'm going back and I'm trying to make that company money for the first time in my life. Used to, I'm seeing what I could load on the truck and dump it in the ditch when I got a few miles out of there and go pick it up after work. Good thing I didn't have vehicles on diesel. I'd have filled them up and I'd have had me plenty of fuel all the time. I knew how to cycle gas, boy. I'll suck your car dry right in the churchyard. Just a few minutes. While you're in church. But you know what? After all of that, you know what I told the Lord? I said, Lord, I'm going to be the best that I can be. State trooper pulled me over. I went down there and asked Jack, I said, can you go down there and have this truck governored up that won't run at 75? No, sugar, we can't do that. I wanted to run faster, dude. State trooper pulled me over and he comes up through there and he said, son, what's your hurry? And I said, well, sir, I said, we're behind at work. He knew Jack, Norman. I didn't know when he was state trooper. I said, well, sir, I said, I work down at J&H Building Supply down there. I said, and driver's been out, and I've been having to drive two trucks. I've been having to drive a boom truck and haul lumber and then come back and haul interior doors. I said, we're behind, sir. And I said, I'm just in a hurry. I said, that's the only reason. I said, I'm trying to hurry down there. I've got two more loads to get back and haul out that these contractors are waiting on. I never thought about it before then, that these contractors has people on the job waiting on the doors that they're paying a crew. And now I realized it, that they've scheduled and made schedules at that store, and they need to be there when they say they need to be there because they may have made commitments, and if they don't, they could cost a lot of people a lot of money. And all of that was becoming a reality to me. And so he told me, he said, I'm not going to give you a ticket. He said, but slow that thing down. I said, well, I'll try, sir. I'll try to. You better, I'll tell Jack. I thought he knows Jack. But anyhow, I'm telling you that story for a reason. You know what, praise God? It wasn't too long down the road. I was making $230, $40 a week. Before I got saved in less than a year, I was bringing home $445 and I wasn't even having to work on Saturday. I cut my leg with a chainsaw, got stitches in it, you know, and they told me not to go to work for 3 or 4 weeks, whatever it was, not to bend that leg or anything. I sat at home 2 days and couldn't stand it. And I called Jack up, my boss, and I felt like I'm laying out of work, man. I need to be at work. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I didn't feel good not working. Because I'm working for the Lord now.
Yeah.
My life has been transformed now. You know, and I'm just yielding to that transformation.
Yeah.
But why I'm telling you this story, see, it wasn't Jack promoting me. It was God promoting me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was God all the way down through there. I mean, I look back later and I could see it. I thought, Lord, I couldn't get a 10-cent raise out of him, man. I mean, I couldn't get 10 cent an hour out of him. And I started serving you and I get a dollar right off the bat. Boom. Then before you know it, I get $1.50. And I'm like, whoa, hallelujah. My paycheck doubled in 8 months. But you know what? He comes to me one day and he said, what's happened to you? He said, Sugar, what's happened to you? I said, Jack, I got saved, buddy. I said, I'm not the same guy. I found out I was a new creation. I told him, I said, I'm not the same guy, man. I said, I'm a new man, hallelujah. I said, now you got somebody that wants to make you money. I want to make you money, you know. I really want to make you money. You've been giving me, I want to make you money, man. I said, so you book me and line me up 5 days a week from 5 to 5. Let's go. But you know what? It wasn't him promoting me. It was Jesus. It was the Lord. It was the Word of God bringing promotion. There it is. I was not conformed to the way I used to be and wouldn't conform. I'd been transformed and I was yielding to that new transformation. Didn't even realize what's going on in my life at that time. All I knew is things was changing in my life. Things was changing in my marriage. Things was looking better. Things was feeling better. And then when he sold out to the other company down there, see, I didn't know, but see, God knows the plans that he has for me and you. And he knows how to train us to where we can handle the things that God has for us. But you know what? The will of God is conditional. It's conditional if I get up and go with the Lord and flow with the Lord and don't conform. God's will, he can have a lot of things for me and me never experience them because I won't follow. Got to follow. And following him is not conforming. But it's don't conform. I don't conform to flu. I don't conform to COVID. I'm not scared of it. I'm not scared one bit of it. I believe he coughed it in my face, but God, and I got the shield of faith. I believe, praise God, I believe it. Well, what if it don't? You're scared. I'm not going to say, by faith, I can run this motorcycle 140 miles an hour, swoop off the ditch, and I got faith to come back on. That's stupid. Right?
Yeah.
You leave that road running 110 miles an hour, that motorcycle, you're more likely to come back on that road. I'm not saying be stupid. But I am saying be a man or woman of faith.
Amen.
Have that shield of faith up there. What if it don't work? What if it does? And when something hits my house, but God, I get the anointing oil and I go to anointing things. I go to rebuking it in the name of Jesus. I go to applying the blood of Jesus and commanding it to loose my place. Loose my house in the name of Jesus. Loose this house in the name of Jesus. But if I just conform, everybody in the church is getting sick. They're just getting sick. Oh, Pastor Brad, everybody's just getting sick. Sandy's sick, been cut up. Darcy's been sick. Now all the rest of them, Jimmy and her whole family, good. Lord Almighty, everybody's just getting sick. I'm conforming. You know what I'm supposed to do? Rise up. Rise up and stand in faith. Hallelujah. And believe God that has to loose every one of us. Because I don't believe in conforming and giving in to something that's been defeated over 2,000 years ago. Satan was stripped of all power. How do you know sickness and disease is of Satan? What's in heaven is supposed to be down here? Are there any up there? No sickness and disease in heaven. There ain't no tears, sorrow, and oppression, and fear, and unbelief in heaven. And Jesus prayed, and I know it's the will of God because Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I pray that it be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, praise God, the book of Psalms says they had a little of heaven on earth. We can have heaven on earth. Don't conform. Renewing our mind transforms our life. We know Joshua over there, Joshua 1. Give me that, man. Just let's see. Only be thou weak and timid. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou best deserve to do according to all the word, the law, which Moses, my servant, listen what he's telling them back there. Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. He said, don't conform. Don't lose sight of it.
Right.
See what Moses wrote and get your eyes on it and stay on it. He said, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is therein, be doers of the word, James said. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. God, give me a revelation when I read that. I read that one evening. I realized it didn't say God will make me prosperous.
Right.
It hit me, and I thought, I read it again. I said, that says that I will make my way prosperous. I will have good success. And all of a sudden, while I'm meditating on that, I thought, Lord, help me understand this. I don't understand this, Lord. You know, I realized that everything wasn't up to God and everything wasn't up to Jesus in my life. I realized at that moment that he sent Jesus to die on that cross and all the law was fulfilled in him. Everything was complete. The blessing of the Lord, healing, everything. And I realized that I had to meditate on that day and night. If I wanted to make my way prosperous, praise God, and I realized that God was already with me. He was in me. He was with them. And that's why he told them, I'm already with you. He's already in us and with us. And the word of God will help us think like him. It will help us react like he does to circumstances and situations. So, you know, I don't do it as much now, but I rehearse the word a lot. I mean, I do it all the time. I mean, I'm not bragging or nothing. I know. I keep myself, man. I guard my heart. I mean, I'm not braggadocious. If you do that all the time, praise God for you. Praise God for you. You're maturing. You're getting on up there. Travis told me he come to church sick. Sunday. He told me that evening. He said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sing tomorrow. I think I could text Jeffrey and just get prepared. He's thinking about the service that day later, you know. And I told you about it, and I started praying for him. Well, he come on. Well, he's told me this two or three times. He said, I just can't bring myself not to do that to y'all. I just can't bring myself to do that to the body. And I looked at him both times, and I said, son, that's maturing is all that is.
Yep.
I said, that's maturity, son. I said, that means you're growing up. Because you know what? Aubrey don't care what I want. She can care less. She wants me in there and help her in that bedroom and everything's falling. She don't care that I've been working all day long. She don't care that I don't feel good. I can tell her I don't feel good. She'll say, well, Papa, I don't care. She don't care to tell you she don't care. Well, she's a baby. She's a baby. Babies want what they want, and if they don't get what they want, they just, you know, nobody loves me. Papa, now my own, they don't love me. Well, you know, you're going to have, your lights will be on when you get 13, you'll find out. But you know what I'm saying? I told Travis, I said, and this is what I realized. People that do that, I'm not downing nobody. Don't you think I'm trying to teach you something? God watches that stuff. The Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. And what he didn't conform, and here he is today. He wasn't conforming to that. Now, his responsibility was helping him not to conform. And I'm not just boasting him up. I would tell you, I'll tell you when he don't do right. I preach on him all the time. He's lived with me all his life, 49 years. You know? But he told me one time, he said, "Dad, I can't live up to your standards." I said, "Son, I have never put none on you." He felt he was trying to live up to what he felt like would be pleasing to me. And I told him, I said, "I've never put standards on you to live up to for me." Well, Satan was lying to him. The only standard he's got is Jesus. The standard he's got for his marriage is the Word. You know, and so when he realized that, you know, it set him free. I wasn't trying to put standards on him. I'm not trying to put standards on none of y'all. Hallelujah. I want victory for everybody listening to me here in this house and all over the planet. I want victory. Because you know what? You'll see the church is full of healthy, wealthy people. You'll see them full of joyful people. People that has obtained victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm after. I'm after that glorious church that is going, when Jesus comes back, is going to be strong and vibrant. They're going to be the ones that have took the Word of God and they have put Satan under their feet. They've defeated sickness and disease in their midst, praise God. He said he would take it out of the midst of us. Sickness out of the midst of us. Hallelujah. And I believe we are just forerunners for that. I believe we're going through and we're getting the victory and gaining the victory. And people's going to say, we got to go down there to Faithway Christian Center. But God, those people don't put up with sickness and disease, COVID, omen, stupid spirit, whatever it is, dumb flu, stupid flu, whatever you want to call them, it's got a name. They don't bow. They don't conform. Let God, they'll lay hands on you and get you healed is what they'll do. They'll lift you up and you'll feel it when you're at home. See, the church is going to take on such a transformation in these last days. And we're in the training process of fighting the good fight of faith, of laying hold, of taking ground, going where no man Star Wars never been. He said he'll set us on a highway that evil can't cross their own.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, I'm tempted to get discouraged when all of y'all get attacked with sickness. I'm tempted to be discouraged. But I'm not going to. I've been in this a little while, a couple of years. I done learned a couple of years ago, just don't do it. Just don't look. Just don't focus on your trouble. That's why I used to say that goodbye. You'd hear that church. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Because you whine all the time and they get sick of hearing it. They hoping you go ahead and stay home. They felt good that you got here. But you get some folk there, nobody knows what I'm going through, God. If you don't show us my life, they're going to be cut off. He's on earth. He's already there. He just needs you to believe him. Take that light bill, God. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God, but I rebuke that being cut off in the name of Jesus. You said you would supply. Now I'm rebuking every devil or anything that might get in the way of my supply coming, but God, because you are a faithful God. And your word says you'll do it, praise God, and you are a faithful God. You're a faithful Father. That's faith. And then mountains has to begin to move for you. I had some bills back years ago, back there, my office back there, and a lot of bills piled up close to Christmas. Getting close to Christmas. And I told the Lord, I said, I was just learning this stuff back there, you know. And I kind of felt like an idiot because I heard one of them preachers on TV said, "Well, look, take your bills and lay your hand on it and command them to be paid." And I thought, nah. I got in that office that morning, and I'm praying, you know, I'm just praying before everybody gets there. All of a sudden, I could hear that preacher on TV, wherever I'd heard it at. I looked up there at them bills I had them laid in the windowsill, and I'd take them out, you know, when we paid them, file them and all that. I looked at them, they're about that thick. I thought, hey, what if the dude's right? I got them, prayed God, and I slapped my hands on them. I said, I command all of y'all to be paid. You're paid in full in the name of Jesus. Lord, your word says, whatsoever things I desire when I pray, believe that I receive it. Mark 11, and I have faith in you, pray God, and I'll have it if I don't doubt. I said, Lord, and I'm not even going to think about it no more. I expect these bills to be paid up in full, and I'm going to give everybody a Christmas bonus in Jesus' name. I receive it right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I walked out of that office, and you know what? That was sometime early in December. All of those bills was paid, and me and Preston, when everything was settled and the dust settled about 3 or 4 or 5 days before Christmas, me and him had about $2,000 that we gave him. We gave everybody there a bonus, and we gave away one guy $500, $900 that didn't have no Christmas money for their kids. And but God, I thought, glory to God. I told him, I said, boy, did you see that miracle? I said, I laid hands on him. He looked at me a little bit funny. It works for me. I'll just go to the house and do it in my house. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to, well, what was happening? I wasn't conforming to the way it looked. I wasn't conforming to the way it felt. I wasn't conforming to the way things looked in the natural that I couldn't do what I really wanted to do. I was transformed by the renewing of my mind with the Word of God. Lay hands on it. Speak to that mountain, hallelujah. Tell that mountain to move from here to yonder place, and it'll have to do it, the Bible says. Give me the Romans right quick. We're going to close. I got to work tomorrow. No, I don't. I'm free tomorrow. Paul says here in Romans, he said, as it is written, I've made these, talking about when he told Abraham and he couldn't have kids. You know, this is a powerful story right here of a miracle working power of God, even back in the Old Testament. He says, I have made thee. He said, I made you a father of many nations. Before him who believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. And God calls those things that be not as though they are. He calls himself. You call yourself healed. Call yourself joyful. Call yourself the head, not the tail. Call yourself a lender and not the borrower. How do you know it works, Brother Scotty? Because I've done it. I did it. I'm there. I can loan you money. I'm not going to because some of you won't pay it back. And some Christians ain't got it yet, Johnny. They just think they do like they used to. Just borrow $20 and forget it. And I want to charge them interest, but I can't. I'm being funny there. Pay your loans back. That way we don't care to let you have some money. It says, call up those things and be not those who against hope believed, in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, go ahead. And be not weak in faith. See, you can't be weak in faith.
Yeah.
You gotta be strong in faith. You gotta have your faith strong.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to get faith. Oh, you read the Bible, you know what Romans 10:17 says, don't you? He says, faith comes by hearing. Well, turn you on some preaching. That's hearing, right?
Yep.
Turn you on some preaching. Get on some praise and worship. Like, I mean, the other morning, I'm cooking breakfast, and I turned on John Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, the old man. And I'm listening to him while I'm cooking breakfast in the kitchen. This is good preaching Sunday morning. Hallelujah. I'm so sleepy on Sunday. Go to bed early Saturday night. Come on, you know good well if you stay up till 2:00, you ain't going to make Sunday school. I mean, the bed sheets will wrap you up and love you. They will just hug you and, oh, you're warm and cozy, baby. You'll have them thoughts. It's cold out there. God, Lord, I bet it's going to be cold in the church. Man, you better go to bed at 8:30 Saturday night.
Yes.
If you're having trouble getting up and going to church and that's all it is, you're sleepy, man, you better just take off Friday and go to sleep Friday evening. Lose that whole day's pay. It'll be worth it. Sleep all Friday. Lose that $100. Saturday, don't watch no TV. Don't do nothing. Just go to bed, get up, eat, go back to bed. And I mean, get up at 6 o'clock, let somebody cook for you, go back to bed at 6:30, and don't get up till 5. Get you about 24 hours of sleep from Friday to Sunday, you'll come in here kicking it for Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. What y'all so bug-eyed for? My glory to God, I've rested up in the natural, and I've got Jesus popped up this morning. I'm anointed to get up and go to church. Hallelujah. But you know what? I found a scripture in the Bible where it says that because they won't acknowledge the body in Corinthians, that some are weak and sick and direly. Yeah. They won't acknowledge the body of Christ. Yeah. See, you've got people on the front lines that are fasting and praying and seeking the Lord. And if you don't get up and pray and fast and seek the Lord, you're not fighting the battle with them. You're not engaged in the warfare with them. You're just hoping everybody prays for you so you'll make it through your little mess. Right. Everybody else got their mess and they're praying you through, so to speak. Got you spiritually covered too. But you know what? They're getting ammunition. They're like, praise God, they're going from one level of faith to another level of faith. And before you know it, they're like, man, them was not really big trials. But I wouldn't look at them, praise God. And he says, and being not weak in faith, don't consider sickness and disease. Don't consider no money. Don't consider how you feel. Didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise. He didn't stagger at what God said. I've made you the father of many nations. He said, I've made you. He didn't stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. See, if you're staggering, you're in unbelief. Jesus couldn't do no mighty works because of unbelief. In his own hometown, hallelujah. But the Bible says he staggered not. If you don't stagger at the promises, you will be strong in faith. If you don't look away from the promise, well, God don't do. Don't get into all that. I don't see how God's going. Don't get into all that. God's kind of like the Dalmatian movie. He's got 101 ways we've not even thought about. 101 Dalmatians. That'll stick in your mind there. He got 101 ways here, God. I ain't going to be concerned about the details. You got over 100 ways that probably I've not even thought about how you're going to come through. And then when he comes through, you'll be like, glory to God, I never thought about it that way. I'd have never thought about it. I walked up into the post office one time, walking into the post office, and there's this guy walking through the door, and the Lord said, pay his house payment. I don't know how much it is. House payment? Dude, it could be 1,000, 2,000. I thought, I don't know how much it is. He said, pay the house payment. I thought, well, if God says pay the house payment, then I got the money to pay it. So I walked in there and walked up to that dude. I said, hey, man. I said, your house behind you. I said, you have payments on your house. I don't know if you got a house or not. I thought, well, I've got my payment coming up. That's what I thought. Mine is due in a couple of weeks, Lord. That's part of mine. And that guy, yeah, man, I've got behind. I'm just one behind. How are you? I said, Jesus told me to pay it for you. How much is it? Jesus? I said, yeah, Jesus. You know, Jesus. Oh, man, did he really? I said, how do you think I knew, man? I said, how much is it? He told me how much it was, pulled out the wallet. I said, I got enough pay. There you go, man. I'll pay you back. I said, I don't want paid back. I started saying, I want the house. I believe it for one. It's a down payment on it. Praise God. But you know what? I never was behind on my house payments no more. And by God, I went through a trial on mine 3 months behind, and I laid hold of that I'd paid the other ones, praise God. And you know what? Today, I just almost mine paid for. I didn't pay it off.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm literally not by faith. I got the money to pay my house off. And I don't owe nobody nothing then but to love them. But you know what? I wouldn't stagger back under. That thing tried to shake me, praise God. I got focused in on the Word of God, repenting for unbelief and all of that whining I was doing, and all that unbelief that I was doing, all of that. When I got rid of all of that, I was strong then. I got up and I thought, that's what Abraham, he didn't do it. He didn't stagger. Praise God. And man, me and Teresa got in there like bulldogs listening to the Word. We listened to preaching day and night. We didn't turn nothing on hardly but preaching. We in a mess, and we know we need some Word. We need some faith coming in our ears. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what? Praise God. We come out mad, and we ain't never been behind since.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's been a lot of years ago. That was 8, 9 or so. Praise God. We've done that and come on out ever since then. Praise God. So I'm going to encourage you. Don't conform. Whatever it is, don't conform, but be transformed. Be transformed by it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.